Praise you, Lord.
As I was meditating on the Lord this morning, I was thinking about our worth and our worthiness. If you think you don't have value or worth this morning, I want to tell you you're wrong. You were worth Jesus, the only Son of God, coming to earth to fulfill God the Father's plan because He loved you and giving His life in obedience to that plan of the Father. So you're worthy. You are worthy because of Jesus, because of the work, and because God created you and you've surrendered your life to Him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Hallelujah. While they're being seated, if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 18. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'll pray as they're being seated. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the sweet presence, your sweet presence, Lord, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Revelator, the Guide into all truth. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for accomplishing in us. We thank you in advance, Lord, for accomplishing in us what your will is today. We're going to receive from you your word, meet truth, absolute truth. And we thank you for that. Now, Lord, hide me behind the cross. I yield myself as your servant in your lips today, Lord, your mouthpiece, your oracle. Now, Lord, speak through me as I surrender to you for your honor and glory. And may all honor and glory be passed on to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. The title of the message this morning is, What is your dream? Or are you willing to stand? And we're going to read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 to start. Our main text will be Hebrews 11. You can turn there, put your finger if you want to, but let's stand for the reading of this part of the Word, if you will, please, in honor for Him. Thank you, Lord, for your Word, that you are the living Word. Hallelujah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Or, be strong, endued with strength, strengthened. Be strong in the Lord and receive strength, increase in strength. Be headstrong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So what he's saying there is put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to, no matter where you come in contact, no matter who you come in contact with or whose presence you are in, you stand. You're established. You stand, you continue safe and sound, unharmed, ready, prepared. You're to be of steadfast mind, one who does not hesitate, one who does not waver. Amen? Hallelujah. And that word wiles there, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, means so that you'll be able to be cunning and operate in cunning arts, deceit, and trickery of the devil. You'll operate against that. Amen? Praise the Lord. In verse 12, it says, For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Or, we do not... It's a contest between two in which each endeavors to overthrow the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. In that verse, the flesh, and we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, it's a man or a living creature or even the human nature. We're not wrestling against human nature. We're wrestling against spiritual wickedness, principalities and powers. That word principalities is that we wrestle against is of angels and demons. Powers there is the word powers means power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, physical and mental power or influence. Rulers is the Lord of the world. It's talking directly about the devil, Satan and his demons. Rulers of darkness, that's used of darkness, darkened eyesight or blindness. Blindness or ignorance, respecting in respect to the divine of the divine things and human duties. And that wickedness in that last part of that verse, in verse 12, is depravity, iniquity, malice, evil purposes, and desires. And we withstand, in other words, we set ourselves against, we withstand, we resist, or we oppose the attack of the enemy. Amen? Praise the Lord. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth. How do you put the enemy to flight? With truth. He's a deceiver and a liar. There's no truth in him, so you put him to flight by exposing truth. The light of God is truth. Amen? Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to stand to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. You can be seated. Now, the thought occurred to me as I was meditating this week and searching about things in my own life, things that I desire for change, things that have been spoken over my life, things that I've spoken that I want to accomplish for the Lord. Sometimes we get to the point where we get weary, or our eyesight and our tenacity starts to dim and fade. How many know what I'm talking about? The Bible says, "Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not." God has a time for everything. We know that. He says there's a time for everything. I won't refer to that scripture, but you know what I'm saying. And so, as I began to think about that, I began to see faces. People in this house and others that I know who are standing and have been standing for the inevitable supernatural intervention of God in some area or another in their life. Amen? For a loved one. For healing of a loved one. Maybe healing for yourself. For a breakthrough financially. Amen? Charles, I was telling folks earlier in this morning before we actually started the service about Charles calling me this past week, late in the week, and he was not feeling well. Something passing around between the kids and Joanna. Well, Charles, because of his maturity level, and this is not an attack against him, I was there. You were all there one time or another in your life. He's operating from what he desires from God, not understanding or operating in what he knows he has from God, which is the promises, which in him are what? Yes and amen, or so be it. Amen? And the thought occurred to me, I mean, right then, it's like a bolt of lightning hit me. Now, like I told Gene this morning, I'm a little slow on the uptake. I've heard this, I can't tell you how many times, and I thought I had it down, but I didn't have it down. It's now revelation to me. Amen? And it's truth to me. It's not that it wasn't true before. It's that I still didn't get it. You know? But the bottom line is, we're not seeking for something. We are seeking for the manifestation of something we already have. Isaiah 53:4 says, "By His stripes you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By His stripes you are healed." If what Jesus did is a completed work, if He really took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, if He really made an open show of Satan and gave us back dominion, then we're not seeking for anything. We're standing and waiting for the manifestation to come of what we already have. Amen? 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 Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, that's the place where we need to operate from. If God has already done all He's going to do, then that must mean there's nothing left to do on His part. On His part. We have some things we need to do. That's stand. Stand in the liberty where we've been set free. Amen? Stand as a tree planted by the living water. The living water, that's the Spirit, the Word of God, fellowship with the Lord. That's living water, man. Fellowship with one another. Building one another up. I don't know if I can find the scripture, but I believe it's in Titus. It says, "Beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. That's like getting your battery charged. It's like plugging into a power source. And what happens when you do that? Manifestations happen. You light up, things brighten up, and man, you know, how many of you have ever seen an old light bulb that's been run by a generator? And the generator is starting to wind down, you know, and maybe running out of gas, and all of a sudden you see the lights start to flicker and dim. You need to stay plugged into that source, the generator of the Holy Spirit, so that that light stays strong, bold, so that it illuminates everything, the way, both for you and for others as you minister to them. Amen? Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, there are many people. Imagine what you would do, or how people like Joseph and Abraham felt. They had a promise of God, but it didn't happen overnight. And that's where we all kind of, that's where the rub is for us as human beings, as flesh people. And that is, we don't like that weight. Amen? I mean, listen, there's no question. We are an instant microwave society. Waiting, that's not in our vocabulary. And yet the Scripture says in Hebrews 13:8, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That doesn't mean wait on Him, as we all know. That means wait like a waiter. Now, there may be some waiting involved, but in the meantime, you're serving God. Amen? You're serving others. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. Read along with me, if you will, please. Now faith is. Faith is now. It's now faith. Is the substance of things hoped for. It's by the Word of God. That's the substance, the Word of God, that causes us to hope for things that we've been promised, to hope for the manifestation in our lives. Is that not right? Of things not seen. In other words, we're believing for them, we know they're ours, but we don't see them yet. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now listen carefully. This is so important. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It's by faith the worlds were made. It wasn't by things visible, but what we see was made of the invisible things of God. First of all, words. Are words visible? They're audible, but they're not visible. What happens after the words is the visible manifestation comes. Amen? There's a process. Amen? Hallelujah. Then it goes on and talks in verse 4 about different ones, and throughout the book of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, about those who stood in faith and who saw the promise. Amen? Once again, what is your dream? What's the dream God's placed in you? Or are you willing to stand? Are you willing to stand, having done all to stand? Amen? Putting on the whole armor of God. Standing and watching and waiting for the manifestation. The inevitable, once again, the inevitable supernatural intervention of God. The manifestation of what He's promised. He said, have I not said and will I not do it? I can't lie. Amen? Praise the Lord. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Part of standing is seeking God, seeking His kingdom. That's part of standing. Occupying till He comes. Amen? But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, in other words, the floods hadn't come, the water hadn't started yet, prepared an ark, because God told him to. Amen?
Amen.
He did that in anticipation of what God had told him, of the promise of God to spare him, to save him, and his family. Once again, like the jailer with Paul and Silas when they were in prison, say he was saved and his house. Amen? Hallelujah. The saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, he didn't condemn the world. His actions, because of faith and obedience, condemned the world. He did what God told him. God already made the decision. He was going to take care of the sin problem in the earth. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. It was by divine inspiration of God and by obedience that he obtained that promise. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. They were all part of it. Amen? All of his descendants. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah made up her mind that God was faithful and that he was going to perform what he said. I don't know if they knew the scripture that says God said it, and that means he'll bring it to pass. Amen? Because he can't lie. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. The fulfillment of God's promises. From however many there were in Abraham's time, through his seeds and descendants, look where we are today. Look at how many people are on this earth. Hallelujah. We're going to jump down to 11:17, chapter 11, verse 17, and we'll read through 29. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Goodness. I'd say that's a testing of your faith. And he who received the promise offered up his only begotten son. That's a type and foreshadow of our Father, isn't it? Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. God gave the promise of Isaac. And I can only imagine what Abraham was thinking. First of all, he was apprehensive. Okay, now wait a minute, God. You just told me that, you know, this is my lineage. This is the seed that's going to be part of my blessing. And it's going to be a blessing to the whole earth. And yet he obeyed, knowing that God knew what he was doing. I'm not telling you it was easy. I'm not telling you that he just said, okay, fine, great. You know, I think wonderful, whatever. I'm sure he was heartbroken. But because he knew God, did you hear me? Because he knew God, because he had been in relationship with God the Father, he obeyed God. He showed what he was made of and what was the resolve in his heart, and God provided a sacrifice rather than a son. But you see, that's a type and foreshadow of what the Father did. He sent Jesus. Amen? In other words, we were facing imminent death just like Isaac. Amen? Is that right? We were facing imminent death because of the nature and the sin that was in our lives because of that tainted blood from the time of Adam. And God sent a sacrifice that was able to not only just, you know, cleanse us, but to wash away all of our shortcomings, all of our sin, all of our misdeeds, our bad conduct. Amen? Hallelujah. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. We've got commands and things going on in this earth right now. Once again, that people's hearts are failing them for. During the praise and worship, we read Psalm 91. Only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Amen? Hallelujah. What a promise. Hallelujah. By faith, when he became of age, or by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Reward of what? God's presence in his life. God's direction in his life. Amen? Hallelujah. God's spoken into each one of us a dream or a vision. He's prophesied over us in one way or another, whether it's through things we've received directly from him or from somebody else. The Bible says, lay hold on those things. Lay hold on eternal life. Amen? Don't let them go. Are you willing to stand? If it takes 30 years, are you willing to stand? Or are you going to get weary? Are you going to give up? Are you going to look other places? Or like for the moment when Abraham and Sarah decided they were going to help him along, messed up big time. But as we say that, we also know that no man was born of the will of the flesh or by the will of man or by blood, but by the will of God. So that means even Ishmael was a plan of God. Amen? Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. Absolutely. What's your dream? What dream has God put in you? Or what's your desire? He says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. I want to go back and remind you, talking about enduring and looking at that in Romans 8, 18. I just want to read it to you real quickly here. Romans 8, 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Having done all to stand, stand. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give in. In due season, you will reap if you don't faint or give up. You know, so many times we get to the point where we're right on the verge of the blessing, the manifestation coming. And we either do something dumb like dig up our seat or we give up. Well, Lord, you know, I don't know what's going on, but it's never going to happen, so I must have missed you. No. Never, ever let go of the promises of God. When He speaks something into your heart or He shows you something in the Word, don't you let go. Don't you let go. You hang on. Amen? That's part of laying up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Hallelujah. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. When have you and I ever been at the place? Now, we may have felt like it, but when have you and I ever been right at the edge of the Red Sea with the enemy coming up full force, hard after you? And, I mean, I can imagine what most folks thought. Well, send your saddle home, John. We're done now. We're done now. And yet, because of the obedience of what God spoke into Moses' heart, Moses obeyed God, and the waters parted, and they went through. How many remember the scripture that says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread? Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I just want to read this real quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Y'all know this scripture. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What are we talking about, yoke of bondage, in this case? That is fear and apprehension that God won't come through. It's like when I prayed for Charles the other night, I knew from the maturity level that he's operating in things he hopes for because he's not real sure that God's really going to come through. And yet the confession of his mouth is every time his wife has spoken to him and something's been going on, she has spoken truth into that situation and the manifestation has come. And he had to testify to that with his own mouth. I've learned to listen to her because she's listening to God. She has it in her heart. Amen. She knows by experience. Amen. How many of us have experience in this place? That's what we need to be relying on. What is your dream today? Are you willing to stand to see that dream come to pass? That desire that's in your heart? Hallelujah. What has your heart desired today? What is your heart's desire today? What is Father or Abba spoken to you, Daddy God? Along with the dream and the promise, don't give up and don't give in under any circumstances. Stand. Amen. Listen, what's the greatest thing you're standing in faith about in your life? The greatest thing you're standing in faith about is the fulfillment of the promise of God. One of these days, probably sooner than later at this point in time, He's going to come, take us away, translate us from this kingdom into the kingdom of light and His dear Son. Translate us from this mortal to the immortality. Amen? Hallelujah. You're standing in faith for that. You're waiting in hope. Why is it any different with everything else in your life? For some of us, we've waited for years and years and years. Some of us just started on that journey. But we're waiting patiently with hope. Hope comes from God. God is hope. He's the only hope. Amen? Jesus is the fulfillment of that hope. Amen? We had no hope without Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't know why sometimes we get so impatient. And with that impatience comes that little voice, that little liar that says, it ain't going to happen. Look at how long you've waited. It's not possible. And yet, the living Word says, with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen? Now, there are sometimes things that we hope for that are against hope. Sometimes, marriage situations, that's just for an example, don't turn out the way we anticipated. I'm reminded of the revelation that Karen got believing for a loved one, and they died anyway. And what happens in that, because we have finite minds and we get closed into a box of, and we see, you know, okay, it's done this way. It's like the law. When you go into court, they don't operate on the points of law. They operate on the precedence of law. Well, so-and-so and so versus so-and-so and so, and this is the way they do it. So this is the way we do it all the time. We get tunnel vision. And yet the revelation came that we prayed for healing. What's the ultimate healing? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But God knows. God knows. We've got to trust Him. He sees the beginning from the end. He knows your beginning and your end. Amen? He knew you before you were formed and fashioned in your mother's womb. He's got every hair on your head numbered. Every hair on your head numbered. Bob. That's okay. He still had them numbered. And you know how many's there now?
Oh.
Never mind. Never mind. We won't go there. Praise the Lord. God's good. Hang on. Don't be weary. Don't let go. Folks, don't let go. In my spirit, I sense we are on the verge. I can tell you, this year I have gone through things I have never gone through in my life. And God has been faithful. I may have gotten a little distracted, a little grumpy, but God's been faithful. He's never failed. He's never let me down. He's never let you down. And He's not going to. When God says something, when He puts a promise in your heart, or He tells you something's going to happen, you have that assurance in your heart, it's going to happen. Amen? Can you all say amen to that? Hasn't that been your experience? Hallelujah. I'm going to remind you, it's not old age, it's mileage. Mileage, proven mileage, amen? Because of the walk with God. Hallelujah. Like they used to say in the commercial, honey, you're not getting older, you're getting better. Amen? And I'll remind you of the song, He didn't bring us this far to leave us, folks. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. And He didn't build His home in us to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Amen? The verse says, there are some promises in a letter written a long, long time ago. They're not getting older, they're getting better because He still wants you and I to know. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build His home in us to move us away, to move away. He didn't lift us up to let us down. Amen? Never use the word defeat, the second verse says. Claim His promises, every one of them. And every spoken word you'll hear, you'll not only hear, but you'll act on it. Because He still wants you to know and understand He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Whew. I'm hanging on, folks. I mean, sometimes we're like that cat, hanging on just by our claws on that tree limb. And the caption says, hang in there, baby. And that's what God's saying. Hang in there. Don't let go. Don't give up. Faith's not faith until it's all you're hanging on to. You may be hanging on by a thread, but hang in there. God hasn't left you. He's not forsaken you. He's got His angels around you, bearing you up in their hands. Amen? And you will see the promise of God fulfilled. Not only the promise of eternity, but the promise right now that He's put in your life. Should be a confidence. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we good? Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
I got a call on Friday night from Dan J. Simpson. Daniel Simpson. Remember him? Tall. Gray-haired.
Oh, okay, yeah, Daniel. Sure, okay, yeah,
right.
Nice.
Daniel Simpson. Anyways, he said that, he called me, he says, Harry's, I've had this phone for 8 minutes. I just got it. And he says, I wanted you to be the first one to know. So, okay, what he told me was that he's down in Corpus Christi, and he He's waiting for to get a hold of Stan probably later on. But he said that he's ministering to the people in the street. He says, I'm not in fear of anything because I don't have anything to lose. That's an interesting thing that he said. He says, I don't have any money. He says, so the people know that I don't have any money, but he says, they know that I'm there for them. And Dan is ministering to the homeless, to the drunkards, to the addicts, and to the prostitutes. And he says, it's amazing what God is doing. Now, Dan said that one thing that he said, he said, I'll be seeing you guys in July. Now, I don't know what he meant by this, but I don't know what he's if he's going to be driving back up here or coming back up. I don't know what he's going to do. He says the car's still running. So but he said that he's got a, he has a website, and it's danjsimpson59.yahoo.com. So he's trying to get a hold of our, I didn't know what our website was, so I couldn't tell him. But I'll give it to you later, then, and you can give him a call then, or give him a message that we've got his website, okay? But pray for him, he says. Pray for me. He says, I need help. He says, I need the strength of the Lord. He says, I need the Lord to guide me and direct me, to show me what to do in these few days that he's got. And I didn't know what he was talking about, but I have an understanding that he'll be coming to see us soon.
But praise the Lord.
But he's there. He's got his first phone, and he let us know that he's working. He's working. God bless him.
For those of you who may not know who he is, that's a total change from the words that were coming out of his mouth when he first came here. That's a total change.
That's right.
He's now confessing that God is in control, and he's confessing that God is the one that he trusts. Sometimes you got to come to the very end before you finally look up and see that he was there all the time.
Amen?
Amen? So praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. So pray for him. Amen? Hallelujah. Are all hearts clear? Praise the Lord. I pray that you were encouraged by this word today. I pray that it wasn't old hat, that it was new and fresh, that something new came out of it. I trust God for that. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Father, thank you. If there's any needs, now's the time. Please don't hesitate. Just because I'm getting ready to close in prayer doesn't mean that we're closing this down. If you've got a need and you want prayer, come. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the living Word, Jesus. Thank you for revelation by the Holy Spirit, for revealing to us truth and the truth in your Word. It began you who are truth, Lord. When we see truth, we see Jesus, Lord. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, we seal this word in hearts and lives. We thank you for the change that's going to bring, that it is bringing even now, Lord. Now we sanctify the food, Lord, in our fellowship. We bless each one here, Lord. Let your face shine upon them. Let your goodness and mercy follow them and rise up and overtake them in Jesus' name. We give you thanks for this day. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, amen.